The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad cedar, broken in a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to combo meal to sour diesel and lemon kush before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags, they're ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flat to fly to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess, this town's a tad, and my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do, but shake it up. Hey, what's kicking? It's Pharrell Mafia tonight, running at 844-843-6879, the number to get on the bench. Later. We're going to have this hour, the sports tax man, Robert Raiola, will join us to break down the contract that Fernando Tatis Jr. got in San Diego. And then in the second hour tonight, our friend from The Ticket in Dallas, Donovan Lewis, will join us to talk about the Mavs, how they've gotten hot all of a sudden, and how there's been talk of the Zinger, Porzingis getting dealt. That's a lot of talk right now. I don't know if I believe all that, but we'll see what he says. And then Dak, will he get tagged? Will he get a long term? Will he get a short term? What's the deal with Dak Prescott coming back? And when is Dallas going to get a deal done with him, or are they just going to tag him again? And the Stars, I think, had a big win tonight. We'll talk to Donovan Lewis in about an hour and a half from now. So strap in. We got a lot going on. I'm watching the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. They're in Indy, up 4 with just under a minute and rolling left in this game. And they have pretty much battled all night with the lead against the Pacers. Up 2, up 3, up 4, but not much more than that. And it's just been a war. And the Warriors, I think, are going to be able to finish this game off. I mean, they're up 4 right now with the ball. And 35 left and rolling. Curry's got the rock with Green. And they get another bucket. This thing's ice, or free throws, either or. Because the Pacers keep missing shots. It's unbelievable. But they look like they're going down. The Heat are up on the Raptors by 7. You heard earlier the scores of these games in terms of if you've been watching them and if you heard the update, whatever. It's the Heat by 7. Bulls up 113-109 over the T-Wolves. Pelicans up 117-106 over the Pistons. All these games are in the fourth. And then Thunder lead the Spurs by 4 with under 2 minutes to go at Chesapeake in OKC. Suns up 4 in the second on the Hornets. The Hawks already beat the Celtics. Cavaliers beat the Rockets in Cleveland for back-to-back wins for the Cavs. I cannot believe, I truly cannot believe the Boston Celtics meltdown. I mean, it is unreal what's happening to them. All they do is lose. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio all over the world, Hoorah Soldier, Hoorah, I'm Pharrell, it's Pharrell on the bench, and Mafia is running tonight. The Hawks beat the Celtics, blew them out in Atlanta, 127-112. Before that last night they lost to the Mavs. Before that, they lost to the Pelicans, blew a 24-point lead. I can't even believe they beat the Hawks going back to the 19th, 121-109, because the Hawks beat them the Wednesday before that. 2 days before that, they beat them 122-114. Same kind of score tonight, 127-112. I mean, go all the way back. The Wizards beat them. The Pistons beat them. I mean, the Jazz beat them. The Suns beat them. I mean, who doesn't beat them? Kings beat them. I mean, it is unbelievable. And then I hear all this nonsense. So today I got some grief from somebody that said, you know, we were talking about him on Coast to Coast, the TV show on Sports Grid today about Brad Stevens. And, you know, bottom line is fans are like, you know, they got Tatum and they got Brown going to the All-Star game. There's nothing wrong with them. Stevens is great. Everything's kosher. You're tripping. You don't know what you're talking about. You're this, you're that. Cussing me out. Giving me the business. You know, it's so funny to me. You're two games under 500 and you're giving me advice. All you do is lose and you think I'm the reason. And I say for the first time ever, somebody's got the stones to say Brad Stevens isn't getting the job done. All they do is give this guy praise that he's a genius and he's never won jack shack. And all I know is he just keeps getting glorified for how brilliant he is. He's about as brilliant as this losing skid they're on. He's about as brilliant as losing every night. He's about as brilliant in getting his ass beat again by the Atlanta Hawks. It's Pharrell on the bench.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Warriors win at 111-107 in Indy and finish off the Pacers to end their road trip. Curry had 24. He was terrible from 3, 1 of 11, but 9 of 10 from the line, and they got it done. That's all that matters. I know that Green had a huge night with dimes, literally at the at the half, the guy had 10 dimes. I mean, seriously. He was lighting it up. He ended up with 11 dimes, 12, 9, and 11 for Green, the double-double. And then, as I mentioned, Curry, the 24 spot, Oubre, 17, Pascal, 13. Wiseman had 11 and 5 boards. He fouled out. And then the usual suspects, Brogdon, 24, Sabonis, 22. Nobody else does jack. Turner had 14 and 8. McDermott had 15. I guess it wasn't that bad, but they lost. There you go. I mean, honestly, I think the Warriors have been pretty good for the most part for the season, right? 18 and 15 now. They'll go home after a five-gamer on the road. And, I mean, let me get this straight. I want to be dead on this thing. Yeah, no, it was a four-gamer. They lost in Orlando, lost in Charlotte, won at the Garden, won at Indy, And now they head home to take on the Hornets. And then they play at the Lakers Sunday night. And that game will be on ESPN at 8 on Sunday night. I did notice today, I think I said something on Coast to Coast or in a break. I think it was in a break I said it, that the Lakers are literally playing. It's like, and obviously I get it, but they're playing tonight against the Jazz starting right now. Then they play Friday night against the Blazers. That's on national television. And then tonight's national, and then Sunday night's national. So their next three games are, you know, Jazz now, Blazers, and Warriors, all on national television. It's like every game they play is on national television. It almost seems like, fair enough, I get it. They're the champs. They got LeBron. It is what it is. But it's like, for me, it seems like no other team at all in the league even matters. I mean, it doesn't even matter if you have a better record. The Clippers have a better record. I mean, right? So seriously, I mean, you know, obviously there's teams. Utah has a better record. You know what I mean? Like, there's teams that are good. They don't show them ever. All they show is the Lakers on national television. I mean, every time I turn around, it's like LeBron TV. I understand it. I'm not, like, stupid. I get the gist of it. But, I mean, at some point, you know, fair enough. I don't even have to worry about it around here because I can watch the Nets play in New York, because I'm in New York City. I can watch the Knicks and the Nets, and I don't have to get drowned by the Lakers games, which is what they do to the national audience. You wonder why people get turned off by it. Like, you know, there's certain things, like baseball is boring. It's a turnoff. Everyday people... You know, the one thing I've learned about baseball over the years as I get older is that it's always on and nobody's watching. You know what I mean? Like, so everywhere I go in New York, the Yankees and Mets games are on, whatever, wherever you, you know, end up, because obviously some people like, you know, the Yankees, some people like the Mets, but wherever you go, the games are on, right? And nobody's watching. It's just on. And then I'll have baseball on, like, in the summer or whatever, and I'll have it on, like, you know, the TV or something. And then I'm actually never watching. I just have it on. And then I told you, I've said this before, if I put on a Yankee game and it's like the third inning, I'm out cold. I can't even make it three innings. I can't even make it a quarter of a way through the game because it's so boring. I fall asleep. Like when the wind blows. And I think it's no different in basketball when all they do is show one team all the time. I mean, like, you know, can you give us some other teams? Can we watch some other players once in a while? Can we watch, like, someone getting good? Like, I want to watch, you know, and they show Zion a lot. But the problem with Zion is that, you know, the team is average. So he plays on a real average team nobody wants to watch. I want to watch Scary Terry and LaMelo play. I want to watch Devin Booker play, you know. And I feel like, you know, constantly I'm getting exposed to, you know, watching teams like Philly. They'll show them a lot. You know, and Giannis, they never stop showing Giannis. And they always, and seriously, they show the Celtics as much as anyone else, too. They're constantly cramming the Celtics and the Lakers down our throats, and no one else. I mean, the season Utah is having, the only reason they're on national television tonight is because they're playing the Lakers. That's it. They don't show the Suns enough. They don't show Dame enough. Dame time and Booker get no respect in this league. They like to show Obviously, now they like to show Curry and they like to show the Joker. So, I mean, and they like to show Luka. The problem is that that team's 500. You can't just show some team that can barely win all the time on television. You can't take it. So they look at their offerings, they look at their choices, they look at their schedules, and then it always ends up being the same thing. The Lakers, every night, Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday night, national TV, just kind of, like, after a while, Mafia, don't you get burned out on it? Like, no wonder I watch hockey. No wonder you watch the UFC. I mean, how many Laker games can I watch? I might as well live in Los Angeles.
Right, I mean, and that's why sometimes you get people like you and me, sometimes we're just like, you know what, I'm checking out tonight. I'm going to go watch TV. I'm going to go watch a movie because as much as we love sports, you get tired of seeing the same stuff over and over. And I know they do these schedules, you know, months out. So it'll be a lot different, I'm sure, when we get to the second. Well, not a lot different. You're still going to see a lot of the Lakers. But you might see some of these other teams. They didn't see a lot in the first half and the second half because of the way they're doing the NBA season this year. But we saw that in the beginning, too, you know, where it was all the Nets in the early going. It was all Kyrie and Durant. And then now it shifted toward all the Laker games. You know, hopefully they do it a little more sparingly where they just sprinkle everybody in the second half. But we know the NBA probably won't be. Probably be the same stuff. Probably be the Nets and Lakers, and that's it.
Yeah, they're not doing that. They're not changing it because it's the second half. What they're doing is they're sticking LeBron James down our throats every single day. That's what they do. It's just, it's LeBron TV. All day, every day, every night, every game. It's automatic. And, I mean, like, after a while, like, if you're not a Laker fan, you wonder why people get turned off by it. It's like I said, it's just like, whatever. I just can't take it every single night. My God, you don't watch any of these other teams I talked about. Spurs. I like Popovich. I want to watch his team. I think they're decent, right? You never see them. They wouldn't make a game on national television if the sky fell. Seriously, it's crazy. We're going to talk to the sports tax man next, Robert Raiola. He knows everything about money and taxes and big player contracts. All right, for all on the bench, we haven't talked to him in a while, the sports tax man, Robert Raiola, CPA extraordinaire, and he breaks down player contracts and deals, et cetera. Robert, it's good to have you back on the bench. We wanted to talk to you about the Tatis deal and the enormity of it, and can you kind of break it down for everybody, for the average layman, and understand it a little bit? I guess it's back heavy. Like, at the end of it, he makes most of his money.
Yes, Scott, thanks for having me on. Great to be back on the show. His deal is backloaded. The total deal is 14 years, $340 million. Not bad. But in the first 4 years, he gets $34 million. And then the rest of it, he gets the remainder of the money. So who knows if he spends 14 years in California, but California is, in the U.S., California is the worst place to play from a state tax point of view. After as long as he's considered a California resident, which is a possibility he will be, he would only net $168 million out of the 340. So he'd lose more than half. I know people are not going to feel sorry for him, but that kind of stinks when you're losing more than half to pay the taxes.
How in God's name, why would he, can he set it up another way? Like, in terms of, you know how people have their LLCs, their companies in other states or whatever, like, you know, that they have a home, like Clayton Kershaw, right? He's from Dallas. He's from Texas. And I know he spends his off seasons there. So his family's there. There's, you know, more than half the year he's there. And somehow, some way, I have a feeling he's not losing half of his money in California. And then in Florida, a lot of guys, there's no state tax there as well. Can you explain to me why would he, under any circumstance, say he lives in California, he just works there. Is there any way he can recoup that money?
Clayton Kershaw is a great example, because what these deals should have, they should all have a big signing bonus. And it doesn't have to be paid in the first year. It can be deferred. Because if you're a Texas resident like Clayton Kershaw is, in the first year of his deal that he's finishing up, he got $19 million out of $22 million as a signing bonus. You know how much in state taxes he'll pay on that? Exactly right, zero. So the trick is you have to try to be a non-resident of California. Then you would only pay California tax on the games played in California, and spring training is in Arizona, so that counts out. So anybody that plays for California team should try to be a non-resident of California, and it is doable, especially in baseball. Football, it's difficult because on a home game, you're there for 7 days, and on a road game, you're there for 5 days. So players on the Rams would have a tough time being a non-resident.
What about Tatis? I don't know his situation good enough to sit here and act like, you know, I know where that guy hangs out in his off-season or, you know, when he's not playing baseball. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he's been in San Diego for the last couple of years. So, I mean, he's got some kind of roots entrenched there.
Right. Now, who knows where his other roots are? And the good thing for him is that his pay in this year is I think, $1 million. So he's got time to figure it out. But he can easily buy a house in Arizona and situate there and spend some time in the offseason. You can't just have, you know, with Cousin Vinny having an address down in Florida or whatnot. You have to have legitimate residency, register to vote, golf clubs, you know, belong to a private club, and all that family ties. So Tatis does have time to get it figured out.
When you saw that contract for that guy and Tatis, and he's played in 140-some games in his career, and he really, you know, his first year got hurt, second year was a, you know, COVID season. Although he played great, he had a huge year. And he's won all kinds of awards, Silver Slugger, everything else. But do you, like, because I almost fell over when I saw that contract for a guy that's 22. Now, I get it. I had a guy today, Bob Nightingale was on, and he said that, you know, Aaron Judge won't get that money because he's, like, almost 30, or he might already be 30. All I know is Tatis is 22, whatever. And when I saw that contract, I almost had a heart attack, because I get it that he's super talented. I get that he's, you know, flashy and popular and looks different, plays different, has the whole act down. That's great. But my God, like, I mean, they must think he's the greatest player ever, because I can't even fathom that they're Robert, that they're paying Machado and this guy over $300 million each. And I said this today on the show. If I'm on that team, I know the owner's bragging about how they can do anything they want, but I just don't believe that. I don't believe that they can continue to pay two players that kind of money. And then what does everybody else make? Nothing? Are they all homeless?
Right. Yeah, it's a good point, Scott. The left side of their infield over there, they're paying the third baseman and the shortstop a whole bunch of money. The meaty thing that I thought of, wow, 14-year deal. But that spread it out. You know, they spread it out. It's heavily backloaded, like you pointed out. So the big money will be earned in the later years when, who knows, maybe by then he's been traded. But that's a lot of money for a small market team to pay two players.
Do you think that a team in that market, and I love San Diego, it's my favorite place on earth, but it's, they're throwing money around like they were the Yankees. And I just don't understand it. I can't get over, and I know people there right now are listening on Mightier 1090 going, what's so hard to believe? Well, it is hard to believe because they've never done anything. They've never won anything. And I understand that they want to win and they want to buy their way into the World Series and they want to have two players making $700 million. I just think it's insanity. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how is it that they can do that? And then, like, a market like Pittsburgh, for instance, it's so easy for me to just go back to Pittsburgh because they spend $50 million on the entire payroll. How is it that one team, and obviously they don't want to spend money, but I don't understand how you can throw that kind of money around to two players. And then they have all these other players. Now, I get it. Snell's under contract. They got Clevenger. They got all these guys. But you cannot tell me, how is it that a small market like that, and I know people say, oh, it's this size city. No one has ever thought of San Diego as a major market, okay? Know that. And then Pittsburgh, for instance, to me is like San Diego. And then one team spends that kind of money and the Pirates spend not a nickel. How is that possible?
It's almost like the Pirates aren't trying to win. You know, with a payroll that low.
You got that right.
With a payroll that low, you can't say that they're trying to win. So good luck to San Diego. That's a lot of money to spend. But I often wonder if when you're negotiating these deals, you know, wouldn't the players be willing to try to win a championship and take a little bit less? You know, Betts got $365 million, and Betts is a resident of Tennessee. So he did it smart. He got a $65 million signing bonus, so his signing bonus won't be taxed at all in the state, specifically in California. So he got $365. Tatis gets $340. But I like the way...
Why don't they touch? What's the law on the signing bonus that you keep telling me about? That he can get whatever in a signing bonus, $55 million, and then he never has to give any of it to the feds. Why is that?
Not to the feds, to the states. If you're a California non-resident, yeah, but California is 13.3%. So that's why it works for Kershaw,
right,
and it works for Betts. And assuming that Tatis was to get himself out of California, which he'd be smart. Now, look, I'm not naive enough to think that taxes are the most important thing, but you've got to be absolutely foolish to not think about taxes when you go through these deals. You've got to mention it to your guy, because $50 million from a California team is a hell of a lot less than $50 million from a Florida-based team. So you got to at least think about
right.
it.
And then not only that, you got to pay. So you got to pay the state. You got to pay your agent. Whatever else you got going on with your finances, but you got to pay those things, and that's a huge nut to give up the money, the taxes. Let me ask you this question before I run out of time. You know what I'd like to do, Mavi? I'd like to carry him over so I can ask him about. I want to ask him about. Because I'm going to talk later to Donovan Lewis about Dak Prescott. I'd kind of like to ask Robert about this guy. So we'll do that. We'll do that after the break. I want to come back and talk to him about what's going to happen with that guy's deal, because you know they're going to end up having to give that guy a boatload of money. But so do you think, is it your best guesstimate that you think that Tatis will get that money all in San Diego? He'll play it out, or do you think he'll not be a Padre after a certain number of years of it?
It's a good question. I can't think that they're going to be married for 14 years to San Diego, and it's, you know, it's no accident that the deals are that backloaded. I don't know what their TV deal is, you know, on a local basis out there, but it's very shocking, like you pointed out, that they could pay two guys all that money. I don't think that Tatis will spend all 14 years there. No, I don't.
Yeah, all right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk to the sports tax man about what he thinks of Dak Prescott and the money that he's going to be looking at in Dallas. And in the state of Texas, no state tax again here, so he's going to keep most of the money.
Not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to the Sports Tax Man. You can follow him on Twitter at Sports Tax Man. He breaks down taxes, contracts, players, deals, etc. Robert Raiola. Hey, Robert, so let me ask you, first of all, before I get into the Cowboys. In Florida, you have the Raptors playing their entire season down in Tampa, and they're from Toronto, and the Blue Jays are going to play in Dunedin to start the season. So they obviously still have border problems in Canada with COVID, and these Canadian teams are playing in the Sunshine State, no state tax. Now, in I'm assuming they get paid. The teams are in Canada. The franchise, the front office, the checks, the owner are all Canadian. So, and I know, and I'm not all that familiar with the Canadian taxes. I know Morency and Cam are guys on our network, but the reality is that he's told me before, Cam, that they tax you through the nose in Canada. Like, it's just awful. The taxes there are just awful. Now, do you know anything about, like, what the pay is like, the breakdown of their money when they don't play in Canada anymore? They're playing all their games in Florida.
It's a home run for the two teams. The top rate in the province of Toronto, Ontario, is 53.53%. That's a major hose.
Jesus.
And as we talked about before, you know, you don't get a full credit back in the U.S. if the U.S. rate is topped at 37. But the Raptors and the Blue Jays, players will save tons. They'll gladly not play in Canada and won't be taxed there either. So it's an extra benefit of not playing in Canada.
So you're telling me that the federal in Canada, in Ontario, is 53%?
53.53, yes, sir.
And the what is the federal here in the States?
37 plus state.
And then you add on the state, right?
That's right. But there's no
state.
Oh,
my God. It's like, right. But my point is that, like, it's literally, you know what's amazing to me, I have to say, is that we have to do these taxes. And every year I do the taxes with my accountant. And it's just the most painful thing. And then it's amazing to me that, and I'm just going to be flat out honest, it's amazing to me that everyone in this country works and gets taxed through their, arse. And you just get your paycheck eaten alive. You pay taxes on everything in where we live in New York. Are you kidding me? In New Jersey? Are you kidding? It's awful. But the taxes are just absolutely insane here. But my point is that this guy, Trump, how is it that that guy, can you explain that to me, never pays taxes? And everybody knows it, right? The guy never paid taxes. But we're all paying taxes. Everybody's paying taxes except that guy. And he never showed his taxes to anybody. Never did anything. That's because he's dirty. That's all that is. That this guy's never paid A, taxes. B, he's built 50 million skyscrapers and never paid anybody for building them. He rips people off like no one's business, and everybody knows it. And everyone knows in New York what he does. He just doesn't pay his tabs. How is it that that guy can get away with that? And all the rest of us, if we don't pay our taxes, we all end up getting slapped with liens on our homes, and they take your paycheck from you and everything else. They'll ruin your life. How is it that that guy gets away with that? Can somebody explain that to me? You have to explain it to me, because it makes me want to stick a gun in my mouth.
Yeah, not you know, the amazing thing about him is they were never ever to see the tax returns. So we could see if we saw the tax returns, we would know what he was doing, whether it was crooked or not. But he's managed to keep that out of there because he said he was being audited. An audit doesn't go on for that long of a period of time. It could have been decided. And he claims he never paid taxes. Who knows what he really did? But I can't.
He's just a liar.
Yeah,
that's right, because he's a liar. He's a liar. He said he was getting audited for 4 years, and he's never shown his taxes because he's never paid taxes. And he's even said he's been on record. Well, he's also been on record as saying that only idiots pay taxes.
Yeah.
Like, It's unbelievable to me. How does the president of the United States at the time get away with that? How is that even humanly possible that we all pay taxes through our nose? I can't even fathom what you just told me, that in Canada it's 53% in Ontario. Christ, I would leave there faster than you could spit. Who wants to live in a place where they take half of your money and just right off the bat? 53%? Christ, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead than pay that.
It doesn't pay to make a lot of money up there.
I guess not. What does it pay to be homeless? I mean, honestly, now
they
explain
break,
to me,
they gotta
Robert.
Break with the schedules. Say again, Scott?
No, explain to me about Dak Prescott. You know, he's about to get a gigantic deal. You know he's going to get a fat deal. And all this talk about should they short-term him, should they long-term him, should they franchise tag him. Last year they did that, and they had to pay him $39 million, whatever it was. Now he's going to make, you know, over $40 million a year at least. He's got all the numbers, the stats, the yards, everything, the touchdowns. He led the league the last time he played, most yards, most TDs. You can't tell me that guy doesn't deserve the money. Jerry Jones is going to have to fork it out any day now before March 9th, whatever it is. And then isn't it great, though, if you are Dak Prescott and you live in Dallas, I mean, the bottom line is the state can't touch any of it.
That's correct. What will happen is he will get a big, fat signing bonus, and that signing bonus will not be subject to tax anywhere. He plays against the Eagles. He plays against the Giants. So those road games, he won't pay any tax at all on that signing bonus. And if you think about it, again, most of his time will be spent playing in Dallas. On a road game, he's in Dallas for 5 days a week. And on a home game, he's there for 7 days. So 80 to 85% of his income is earned in Texas, and they can't touch that. No state can touch that money. And to pay a little tax on the road.
I mean, why doesn't everyone from Canada move to Texas? I mean, everyone should move to Texas. You know what my boss told me once, Robert? He told me I was at CBS, and the guy said to me, the Kings just scored against the Blues. They're on fire. They won five in a row, and they're in the second. They just scored a goal on the Blues in St. Louis. They beat them the other night 3-0, and now they're up 1-0. So anyway, my boss said to me one day, I said, you know, we were trying to negotiate with him a new deal. And I remember being in this meeting, and the guy looked at me and I said something about the money, and they didn't like it, what I said. And, you know, the guy said to me, snapped at me, this boss, and he said, "You want a raise? Move to Texas." That's what he said to me. I was like, you know what? That's an idea I might consider, because Mavi and I have been down to Dallas, and we were shrouded with hot women. I was literally covered in hot women. Everywhere I went, Robert, I saw just smoking hot cowgirl women, like just cowboy boots, sexy clothes, beautiful women, Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And then I don't have to pay any state tax. Maybe I should live in Dallas. Maybe I should move to Texas. Maybe, you know, I'm talking about Dak tonight. I talked about Clayton Kershaw. I'm having Donovan, my guy, is coming on from the ticket in Dallas next hour to talk about everything going on in Dallas. Maybe I should, Donovan Lewis, I should ask him. Maybe I should just move down there. Then I don't have to pay all these taxes.
Yeah.
How bad is it? How bad is it, Robert, in New York and New Jersey? What are the state taxes there?
The top rate in New Jersey is 10.75%. And the top rate in New York State is 8.87%, plus another 4% to New York City. So you'll see very few athletes that live in New York City. If you're a non-resident in New York, you pay New York State tax, but you don't have to pay New York City tax. So New York is one of the worst. I'll get you a map, Scott, of all the states and what the rates are. And with NFL free agents coming up, you'll have that.
So if you're in New York, you're smarter to, if you're playing like for the Giants or the Jets, you could live in you're actually smarter to live in New York State at 8%, not live in the city, but live in New York State and just stay away from Manhattan, and then your, or you know, the five boroughs of New York City, stay away from there, where you'd pay an extra four on top of the eight, so you're paying 12 and change, and then you're telling me Jersey's 10 and a quarter, and then you're telling me California's 13 and change. Is that about right?
Yes, at 13.3. You know, Scott, when players ask me, where should I sign from a tax viewpoint? I said, it's simple. ABC, and they said, what does that mean? Anywhere but California and anywhere but Canada. And it's so true.
So Canada and California are the worst. So if I wanted to move to San Diego, because I go there a lot and I surf and everything, and I go on vacations there, I'm on the radio there. I love it there. You know, I lived in Huntington Beach. You and I have had this conversation before. And then if I wanted to retire and move to California, what you're saying to me is tonight, right here, live, is that be one of the dumbest things I could ever do?
From a tax point of view.
So I'm better off going to steamy Vietnam in South Florida to Miami to live in that hot humidity. I'm better off because there's no state tax. Or move to Padre Island, move down to Texas along the water, Corpus Christi or something.
If your show allows you to move there, Scott, you can do it.
So what about Nevada? Nevada has no state tax either, and you know how I love Las Vegas. So is Nevada and Texas and Florida the best places to live?
As far as tax is concerned, yes. And state of Washington, also
bar none.
Tennessee. Mookie Betts figured out right with Tennessee.
Oh, so Tennessee has no state tax either?
They have a tax on interest and dividends, but they have no state tax. That's why Betts got a big deal deferred, and that's why he got a big fat signing bonus, because he won't pay any state tax, period, on that money.
Mafia said to me earlier tonight that he didn't want to live ever in Tennessee because he doesn't like hillbillies. I thought that was a little harsh. I was like, I don't know what's going on there. I told him I love those girls in Knoxville at the University of Tennessee. Even if they lose every game they play, they got the hottest chicks there. Hottest chicks are in Tennessee. All the hot chicks are in Tennessee, Robert. Meanwhile, Mafia says he won't live in a hillbilly state. That's what he said to me. I couldn't even believe it. Anyway, Robert, it's great catching up, my man. I always like talking about how I go broke in this country, and you're my guy for it. Thanks a lot for breaking down the Tatis deal and Dak and everything else, and don't move to Canada and don't move to California. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, easy as ABC.
There he is, Robert Raiola, the sports tax man, back on the bench tonight, Mafia. Mafia, you can't be calling people hillbillies and such.